Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
Welcome to the Hollywood Casino Press Box with your host, Frank Cusimano.
Here's the pitch. Right there, there it is! Into left field! Hit number 3,000! A run is scored! Mucciano ran first! On his way to second with a double!
The best interviews and the most informed insight.
McGaffey breaking free, has a seam, and a crease. The kicker can't trip him up. Headed for the end zone. Will it be back-to-back weeks? Yes!
All tied together with the experience of over 20 years of local broadcasting excellence in St. Louis.
Now Stasny gets away from a check to Fabry. Wide open!
Now, here is Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
Well, we're playing that song at 10:05. The question on the minds of all Blues fans, will it be played at about 9:45 tonight? What do you think, Plowsy? Will that song be played?
I think it will. Love being at home, although our record is better on the road. I still think having that home advantage in Game 7. Bishop, he probably is a little bit healthier than we are letting on, but still, he's damaged, and you have a new lineup, Sammy Blais in there. I'm sure that's where he'll get the start again tonight. I have confidence. The series, what do you think, 3-2 in the Blues?
You say yes, the song will be played.
Yes.
Brian, do you think the
yes,
song will be played?
I think the Blues win. My other prediction is Blues fans will not enjoy the game until it is over.
Yeah,
and then they'll
edge.
Go back and watch replays and highlights, and then they'll appreciate it. But it's going to be a nerve-wracking 2.5 hours or so. If not longer, watch it go overtime to make it all the more miserable for everyone involved until it's done.
So on the text lines today, 855-282-8255, a yes or no, will Laura Branigan's Gloria be played at 9:45 at the Enterprise Center tonight? Then you can give your comments, but begin with a yes or a no. I'm curious to see, because we've had so many heartbreaking moments, how many yeses we're going to get. I think we're going to – what do you think? I better be 80-20.
I think optimism's high. I really do.
Ooh, I'm going the other way. I think it's going to be a split, a nice even 50-50 split.
Yeah, well, you think, you know, one team's 2-4 at home. The other team's 4-2 on the road.
I think Bishop, that's a wild card. Yeah. I don't think I'm on the opposite of Plowsy. I think he's not as healthy as they're letting on. I still think he'll play well because he's an exceptional goalie and Dallas is very good in front of him. But I think that gives the Blues just enough edge to squeak by tonight.
First shot right at that collarbone.
Uh-huh.
Vladimir Tarasenko.
You got to avoid the silly penalties. David Perron, especially, guys like that are prone to that. These are types of games where you need to play as clean as possible.
All right, we got a good guest list today. Patrick Sharp, NBC, is going to join us. 15 years in the league, 3 Stanley Cups. And I believe, in fact, Brian, we'll ask him before we get him on. He was on the ice for the last Game 7 with the Blues and Stars. Because I think he finished up or he had a cup of coffee in Dallas. Mm-hmm. Chris Kerber is going to join us. Martin Kilcoyne is going to join us. And our opening monologue is brought to you by the great people at Worldwide Technology Raceway. And let's begin with lap one. There are some similarities between now and 2016. Game 7 in the second round against the Stars with the possibility of the Sharks looming in round 3. But that's about where it ends. This is a home game, which should be a good thing for the Blues. It should be, but they are 2-4 at home in the postseason, so that stat doesn't really mean anything. Here's what I would really be surprised at. If Jordan Binnington gets lit up like a Christmas tree, or Jordan Binnington has a lot of bad moments, I don't think that's happening tonight. Jordan, do I look nervous? Binnington is going to be solid tonight. In fact, if you want some high praise, well, I asked Mike Claiborne, Jordan Binnington is the best goalie since?
Grant Fuhr.
Yeah. Wow.
I mean, you think about what Grant Fuhr did for the Blues in the playoffs. He's got a record that won't be broken, 79 regular season games in a row. And the way he played in that Phoenix series where they were down and they had to go back to Phoenix and play them in a game seven and how he played his playoff experience, I think, is something you can't overlook. Now, you may say, well, the goals against was a little higher. Well, they were playing fire wagon hockey back then. So I think when you need big saves, that was Grant Fuhr. But Jordan Binnington, man, is certainly in that conversation. And the way he plays, he's so collected. He's not an acrobatic guy. He just gets in front of the puck, man. And the fact that I like the fact that he doesn't go down so early and bend at the waist where he gives people the top part of the net to shoot at.
Yeah, and then on the other side, you got Ben Bishop. Yeah. He's merely 2-0 in game sevens with shutouts in both games.
He's due. He's due to allow a goal in the game seven.
He's 14-3 in the playoffs after a loss. So this all sets up for a really high scoring game. What should be a 6-5 game? We're talking about these goalies, and it's a 6-5 game. All right, lap two.
I would say how.
Here's what I also think. We are going to have a moment we won't forget tonight. I think there's a reasonable chance, Brian, in this 2-hour and 45-minute game tonight, we're going to have a moment that will probably be on our new intro within the next 3 or 4 months. If not, we'll just have to use the Jaden Schwartz goal in Winnipeg. Now, we don't remember that much from the last Game 7 because that was a 6-1 rout. But these teams are so evenly matched that you feel like it's going to be a one-goal game. In fact, in the Blues' 7 postseason victories, 6 have been decided by one goal. I was texting with Jeremy Rutherford yesterday. How about this? The last time the Blues hosted a Game 7 in the second round or beyond was 1986. They beat Toronto in the second round. Now, that set up the third round where the Monday Night Miracle occurred. And because this is a hockey day in our town, let's hear that special moment one more time, the Monday Night Miracle.
Poderko steals the puck from Reinhardt. Over to Hunter, who shoots block. Wickenheiser scores! Doug Wickenheiser! The Blues pull it off, and it's unbelievable!
So maybe we'll have a Chris Kerber moment, because we don't want to play Kenny Albert on all the intros to this program. We want a St. Louis guy. Now, in terms of the game, speaking of St. Louis guys, Pat Maroon has really played well down the stretch. He's played well in the postseason. Let's get his take on what it will take to win Game 7.
I would say how we played yesterday, how we competed hard. Our back pressure was outstanding again. I think the way we back pressured yesterday, we have to do that every night. Makes it easier for D to have good sticks, really good gap control, being physical, getting to the net. Petro's goal, prime example of our team. Schenner's battling in front of the net, and goalie can't see the puck. So I think that identifies our team, getting pucks below the top of the circles. The first four shifts of the game, each line was in the offensive zone. I think that's our identity. So we got to find ways to compete and do the same thing tomorrow.
All right. Yes or no, does the Brannigan song play at 9:45 tonight? 855-282-8255. Lap three. So they gave Miles Mikolas $68 million. And they gave it to him in part because of games like last night. You're coming off a weekend series with 22 earned runs in 24 innings. Your bullpen could use a little break. And your manager could use a really good starting pitching performance. So Miles got the ball, and he ran with it. It was like an outing. It was like all of his outings last year. And it was like his last outing. 7 innings, 3 hits, 0 runs, 0 walks, 5 Ks, and 98 pitches. Let's go to the clubhouse for some reaction on that performance.
What he and we expect, really, just really quality job across the board. Control counts.
good live fastball, good life to it, good breaking ball, good secondary pitch hitting, just in control.
I'm trying to get quick outs. You know, if I need a strikeout, maybe I go for that. But, you know, I think it is important to control the count, regardless if it's strike one. But being able to throw strikes and locate pitches when you need to, I think, is what's most important.
Well, it's really good. You get this guy going. You have Jack Flaherty you feel really good about. Dakota Hudson goes tonight. His last three starts have been promising. Yeah, this starting staff, maybe they don't need Dallas Keuchel. Maybe they'll have enough. We'll find out. But you got to believe, too, that if you're really in this thing and playing great and you're just not certain if you have five good starters, you could pull the trigger at the trade deadline, I think. All right, left four. So before the game, we were doing our scrum with Jose Martinez. Jose is the most accessible Cardinal player, always in his locker and always does interviews. And he talked about a lot of things, you know, just about him now becoming a full-time starter and not giving up the role. And why should he? Why should Jose Martinez not start every game? Now, I understand if you want to take him out later, you know, if you think Harrison Bader is a defensive replacement, that's a good idea. But you just can't bench a guy batting 358. Just can't. So what really jumped out at me from our conversation, though, was his candor on what his family is going through in Venezuela right now. He has a son, a mother, a grandmother, and brothers right in the middle of that very frightening country right now. And he talked about his situation yesterday.
I think I'm just concerned that my family is all right. Politicals, they're going to be politicals, and they keep giving people hope and nothing is happening and all the stuff and whatever. And I'm just trying to just get my family safe. Everybody said, like I said, and just concentrate on baseball. So like this, like doing this, that's how I'm going to take care of my family. I don't think they're going to just step out and say, yeah, we're gonna give you this, whatever. I think I have to work harder just because of them and trying to get them out of there as soon as possible.
So he just has to concentrate when he's on the field for 3 hours. He has people over there trying to help his family. I imagine those people have to be compensated. Remember when Jose signed that contract, he said he was going to send some of that money home right away. God bless Jose Martinez and his family. And I did think it was kind of interesting last night, the contrast in the right fielders. One was an instant superstar who got this ridiculous contract, who everybody knows about, spent a cup of coffee in the minor leagues. And then the other spent 11 or 12 years in the league. And here's the biggest difference, though, is one is really producing and making $6,900 a game. The other is not and making $712,000 per game. Can you imagine that? He made $712,000 last night. Brian, how about the ninth inning and that sinker by Jordan Hicks?
Look, I'll just say this, and I was thinking this watching it, conventional wisdom, and I know Hicks hasn't thrown since last week because they obviously did not need him in Chicago. Conventional wisdom says that you shouldn't pitch your closer in a 6-0 game or in a blowout, which it basically was. My preference, though, is for every time they play the Phillies for Hicks to play to face Harper, just because that's a fun thing to see.
Yeah. How about in a 6-0 game? Not only are we all on the edge of our seat, but the dugouts. I mean, did you see the Cardinal dugout when that was going on?
And
oh, my gosh.
More impressive for Hicks is, and it wasn't something I necessarily paid attention to the whole game, but the outside strike was not called at all. He struck out Harper on an 0-4 pitch because he threw two pitches that were called balls that were actually strikes, and he still got him out. He's turned a corner from a swing and miss standpoint and is becoming very scary.
So, at least for the first month of the season, I think I'd rather be Jose Martinez than Bryce Harper, at least until payday. Lap five. Sebastian Maniscalco. Have you heard of him? 45-year-old Sicilian from Chicago. Was a waiter at the Four Seasons Hotel in Beverly Hills to pay the rent. Then he started doing some open mic nights, and people started to discover him. Now he's one of the great stand-up comedians in our country. He has a bunch of stuff on Netflix. If you get a chance, go to Netflix, look up Sebastian Maniscalco. We're going to play a little clip from him, but he's actually better when you're watching him because he has this physical humor and his just gyrations are unbelievable. So on Saturday, Monique bought tickets and we went to see him at the Stiefel. She never laughed so hard in her life, and it was a top 10 evening of laughs for me of all time. Let's listen to just a little bit of his humor.
My wife likes different things. She likes shopping different places. She loves Whole Foods. That's her store. She sends me there every once in a while. Can't stand going there. She goes, babe, can you go to Whole Foods? I want to go there. The people over there bother me. You ever go to Whole Foods? Everybody at Whole Foods looks like they make their own clothes. Right? This hemp clothing comes in two colors, oatmeal and throw up.
If you get a chance, check him out on Netflix, Sebastian Maniscalco. All right, lap six. Stream of consciousness. Quick NBA thought. You know, there are certain guys, certain stars, who you think, yeah, I'd like to play with that guy. And there's certain guys you wouldn't want to play with. Like, I wouldn't mind playing at all with Steph Curry and Klay Thompson, even though they shoot it a lot. They're also unselfish. They take good shots, seem like great teammates. I'd love to play with Kawhi Leonard. He actually passes the ball. Great player that passes the ball. I don't think I'd want to play with Russell Westbrook. I know he gets a lot of assists, but I don't know. And the last guy on earth I would want to play with is Kyrie Irving. The last guy. He plays 44 minutes last night and goes 7 for 22. And then after the game, he says, I should have taken 30 shots. I'm a great shooter. He took some of the crappiest shots, contested threes with two men on him, with Al Horford all alone underneath. I know he's really, really talented. But, man, I would not want him on my team. And if I'm Boston, if he wants to go, go. We went to the conference finals. Let's see, wait a minute.
Yeah,
last year, they went to the conference finals without him. And, look, I don't want to just blame him for the debacle in Boston. Gordon Hayward, and granted, he's got a big excuse coming off that catastrophic injury. But, boy, he's not a $30 million a year player either. Oh, gosh.
There is some irony, though, in Boston. The way they operated their franchise the last few years was just waiting for LeBron to leave Cleveland and go out west. That's why they didn't go big on some players earlier and why they hoarded all the draft picks. They were just waiting out for LeBron to go to the Western Conference. And now what happens? Giannis.
Yeah. I'm glad you brought him up because that was beautiful to watch last night.
Stud.
I keep thinking of who he is. There's a little bit of Dr. J to him, but there's if I go really old school, you should Google video of this guy and you tell me, Connie Hawkins. YouTube video of Connie Hawkins and tell me with some of those high wire act moves with palming the ball, just kind of gliding, if he doesn't remind you of him.
I mean, when he slashes, I mean, he obviously doesn't have the presence of LeBron, but he has the wherewithal when he's slashing to put the ball above his head. I mean, he is so acrobatic when it comes to
He may be have a better vertical jump than LeBron. I don't know that for sure. I say this, he's longer than LeBron, and he may be shiftier than LeBron. You know, boy, he's just careening through
amazing
little spots. Oh, my goodness. And for Boston, they're going to have to find a way to get Anthony Davis. And, you know, unfortunately, Jason Tatum is going to have to be the trade bait for that. But, yeah, if they lose Kyrie, they're going to have – then they certainly can put a package together to get Anthony Davis. Sharks and Avalanche. Avalanche force a game 7. So I imagine if the Blues win tonight and then we have their game 7 on Wednesday – we're probably looking at a Saturday, Monday. I don't know. Maybe it could be Friday, Sunday. NBC and I guess the Eastern Conference will control some of this.
Probably too. Saturday, Monday, just because the East is all wrapped up, so they'll probably start that one first.
So if Colorado advances, it'll be in St. Louis, and if it's San Jose advancing, it'll begin in San Jose. I heard Ricky Horton talking about this last night because there's a real possibility that this minimum of three batters is going to happen. If you're a relief pitcher, you come in, you got to pitch to three hitters. Rick actually endorsed it last night. I don't know. I guess the positive is you could probably carry less pitchers, which is good. But what if you got a guy out there who just can't get anybody out? No, you got to pitch to two more guys. No, you got to pitch to another guy. Boy, I don't know. Brian, what do you think?
In that scenario you just posited, it's why I agree. Let's just say Cardinals, Reds, and you bring in Andrew Miller in the eighth inning to face Joey Votto. It's a two-run game, and Votto hits a three-run home run against Andrew Miller or Ty Webb or whomever. Like, in any other instance, you're removing that pitcher because what you were supposed to do, you didn't do. We got to get you out of here to get someone else in. You're telling me he's got to face two more guys after that?
Ooh.
I don't like that thinking. And I also think the game is kind of moving away from loogies to a degree. You're seeing teams seeking lefties who can get two guys out because now teams are kidding their offenses to the point where it's hard just to find that one spot where you can get a lefty out and then you're done. So I think it's moving towards more guys like Andrew Miller being utilized to get lefties and righties out.
All right. We will take a short time out. Remember, text lines 855-282-8255. Yes or no? And yes, we do have some no's on this one. This is interesting. All right, we'll take a short time out. When we come back, Patrick Sharp, NBC.